For sure. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, this is the team that took a chance on me coming out of college. And I tell the Ravens, tell the fans, every time I get a chance to, that I give y'all everything I got because y'all are the ones that took a chance on me when I came out.
That's Isaiah Likely. Locker room cleanout yesterday. He was asked, does he want to stay with the Ravens? It seems pretty clear that the fact that when they gave Mark Andrews an extension, that was likely, pun intended, the end of Isaiah Likely here in Baltimore. But once again in the postseason, Isaiah Likely came up big where Mark Andrews did not.
I mean, there's some organizations that are professionally run and are all business. And then there's others where it's personal. And don't take my word for it. Other front offices and agents who had no dog in the fight were like, who the hell does contracts with a player like that then? Who the hell does it when everybody knows in the league that they're negotiating with a younger guy who's never been paid before and he's the one that they want to keep? And the whole league knows they couldn't get anything for Andrews the previous offseason, which is why they ended up putting their tail between the legs and bringing him back. And now he's worth another $13 million in the future? Boy, it really looks like they're rubbing it in Likely's face. Like, is that really a smart way to run your franchise? Like, what kind of petty little people who were so insecure do things like that? Well, DaCosta does it all the time.
I am interested in hearing Eric DaCosta's rationale for giving Mark Andrews that contract extension, because it wasn't until after the draft last year when he committed and said Mark Andrews is going to be on this football team. It was after the draft. There were multiple press conferences where it was up in the air. Remember, Kenny always joked, it sounded like he was dead.
Yeah, he's talking about him like he was deceased. Yeah.
Like, you know, he's all... And then to change that much, 6 months, 8 months later, and in, the five games following the contract extension, Andrews had 11 catches for 90 yards.
More from Isaiah Likely, his thoughts on entering free agency.
I really just leave it to my agent. I mean, I feel like everybody says a vanilla answer like that, but, I mean, it's honestly my first time ever not knowing. So just keeping one foot in front of the other. I mean, blessed to be, you know, getting out of the season healthy, being able to just, you know, put everything I do on tape and really just going from there.
It's not all in his control. He got hurt start of the season, probably came back too early. The quarterback gets hurt. What kind of market do you think Isaiah Likely is going to have?
A much more robust market than Mark Andrews.
Robust.
He's going to make way more money. He's going to get more guaranteed money. He's going to get more money per year. Smart people in the league pay on upside and potential. People who are worried about covering their ass and looking smart and rubbing people's faces in the mud, well, they play at a little boys club, and you're in the clique or you're not. And what did they do a year ago? Marlin probably should have been. That was the last best you're going to get with him. No, let's keep him around. Ronnie, man, is he going to be that good again? Well, if he'll come at this price, sure, we'll do the cheap thing. Drafting hurt guys rather than getting people who can help you right now because of value. Yeah, there was nothing to keep them from letting Likely hit the open market and giving Andrews nothing and see where this goes. Find out what's available for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Van Noy, run it back with him. Don't try to upgrade there. Okay, I mean, how'd that one work out? Their self-scouting is atrocious. They should know more about their players than anybody else. And the fact that people who they punt on, like Owe, immediately go to the other place and play like an all-pro at their biggest position of need. If that's not an indictment that the emperor has no clothes, I don't know what is. And you can blame coaches all you want. Wait, Chuck Smith, the same guy who Von Miller and all these dudes would spend their own money to go fly and see in the offseason because they thought the best of the best thought he could make them better.
And by the way,
you're telling me he's what was holding Owe back, or maybe it runs a whole lot deeper than that.
And by the way, we gave Chuck Smith his flowers. They were first and second in the league in sacks the first 2 years he was here. So, like, yeah.
They traded him for a safety who can't cover and doesn't tackle that well. Very, in season. Okay.
Very bad tackler. Isaiah Likely, he was asked his thoughts on why the season unfolded the way it did.
I just say, you know, fundamentals. And I feel like, you know, speaking for the offensive-wise, it's just, you know, having drives or have explosive plays where it's, you know, two play touchdowns or something like that, or it's we'll have one penalty or one lost yards play where it's, you know, a stall drive and it's, you know, having explosive offense as we have. I tell everybody, like, I feel like our offense just scores every time we get the ball.
It did not, though. Even in the ultimate game of the season where they scored early and then they were sort of off the rails a bit until the fourth quarter and then they got hot again.
I mean, I think also I didn't do as much as I would like to. And the fact they lost the game. I'm not going to lie. I probably never will. But it seemed to me, just looking through my notes, like they're in a lot of heavy. Like they weren't putting themselves in personnel groups to try to attack downfield. They wanted to road grade them early. They wanted to try to keep Watting these dudes from rushing the passer because they're getting run over by the 360-pound fullback and the 250-pound running back. Like the way they were aligning themselves, the way they were sort of assorting their personnel, like there's a lot of two-man routes. Like you're not really going to win. Even Lamar Jackson ain't going to win all that much that way. Now, when they added the specials, oh, I'm going to run to a spot. I'm going to sell play action. I'm going to sell a pitch play to Henry and then take a shot. Or when there's two free runners, I'm going to avoid them both and then throw it 55 yards downfield. Like, okay, but that's not going to manifest itself all the time. Like, they were trying to manage that game a certain way, and it was pretty effective. They're up 10-0, but we all know it's a four-quarter game. And that defense against a quarterback with a pulse, with a brain who can dissect a little bit of whatever, you know, gussying up they do, that dude probably at the end of the day is going to hang 27-30 on you.
Well, I think at times, especially early on in that football game, they were just too predictable. 13 of their first 15 first down plays were runs. If Pittsburgh knows it's coming, everybody in the stadium knows it's coming, you can start to slow down.
And they got them into a bare front, and they're running five out there, and then things opened up.
Yep.
Let's hear from Pat Ricard, who is also a free agent. He was asked if dealing with these crushing losses gets easier over time.
Yeah, I don't think it gets any easier. Kind of just shocks you. It's just that the whole season comes down to one play, and just especially this year, how we started out 1-5, and so many guys dealt with injuries early on in the year, and we were able to put ourselves in the position to make the playoffs of the last game, the last play of the game. It just hurts. I throw for the fans of the city, just the heartaches after just years after years, and it always seems like to start the year, we always have a great group that I feel like we underperform just with the talent that we have, and I feel like the fans deserve better. It's just hard to just always just seem like it's just one play that ends up just defining our season. But I mean, it's never just one play. There's 17 games that we felt like we should have won the majority of.
He's been a part of all of this, and he talked about injuries, Jason. He had significant injuries. They thought he would be back soon. He wasn't. He didn't look right. His best game was Green Bay a week ago.
Yeah. I wonder how much that game, you know, took out of him, and maybe even a little bit Derrick Henry. But they needed those 36 carries because the defense couldn't stop a backup quarterback.
But so hearing those comments from McCarr, because he's one of the few players, I guess him, Marlon, Ronnie Stanley, they've experienced all the heartbreak. Ricard's first year was 2017. That was the Tyler Boyd play at the end.
Yep.
The end of Flacco into the beginning of Lamar, all the postseason turmoil there. Ricard's been in all of that.
Speaking of which, let's finish here. Pat Ricard on his belief that John Harbaugh should be the team's head coach.
Super grateful and appreciative of Harbaugh. He's a big reason why I'm here. He's a big reason why I even had a chance to play fullback. You know, I was an undrafted defensive lineman out of Maine, and he could have just looked at me as that, but he saw something in me and gave me the opportunity to make this team. And I just have a lot of respect for him. I think he's a great leader. I think he's a great coach, and I would love to keep playing for him. And I know how much he means to the guys in this locker room and to this organization. And he just loves football. He loves us. So that's all you really want out of a head coach.
Well, that's the most glowing endorsement that we've heard from a player.
Several other guys were given opportunities to throw such verbal bouquets and platitudes or even come anywhere close to that. And they declined in their own way for whatever it's worth. And maybe it's worth nothing. Maybe it's all just us mooks reading into stuff. But yeah, that definitely stands out from most of the clips.
Well, we're going to play those clips during TMI at 3:30. Lamar, Ronnie Stanley, Derrick Henry. All high-paid players, all veterans that have been here, had the opportunity to take up for the head coach like Ricard did and did not.
Coming up next, let's hear more from Locker Room Cleanout. How about Tyler Linderbaum, who, what's his future look like? He spoke. And the newest Raven acquired at the trade deadline, Draymond Jones, always a decent talker. I assume he would have been good at Locker Room Cleanout. So we'll hear from Linderbaum and Draymond Jones next here on The Fan.
Yeah, that's the unique and hard thing about football is when you got to be at your best, you got to be at your best. And know, obviously the past few years we haven't been able to kind of get over that hump, but the guys in this locker room, coaching staff, you know, we're doing everything possible to, you know, try to get over that hump.
Tyler Linderbaum talking about coming up short again, and he's been a part of a few of these, and I do wonder if he'll be a part of any more of them.
Building a football team with nobody who can rush the passers, I don't know if that's everybody fully committed to trying to win. Look, they're in decline. They're falling down a hill. They plateaued in January 2 years ago, and they've fallen off precipitously since then in every way, shape, or form, except for the individual brilliance of Lamar Jackson last year, who, by having a season that, I don't know, probably top three season in the history of this league, obscured a lot of, covered up a lot of issues. But even then, he can't throw the ball to himself. He can't throw the ball. Like, it's not Bugs Bunny. You know, otherwise, if he could, like, if that was, okay. He would have
anyone could do it.
He would have had a better chance of catching that ball than newly paid again Mark Andrews. But
he did have the self pass against Kansas City.
He did.
Yeah, that's true.
And that didn't work out that great. It's not even about getting over a hump anymore. It's about that. Like, have they? I don't know that this is rock bottom. I mean, I was texting with Bobby DePaul a little bit this afternoon. Like, you look at this roster now, you'd ideally have at least one starting caliber corner with size who could play on any team in the league. They don't have one, let alone two, with size. You'd like to have, in this day and age where they spread you out all the time, an elite slot guy. No. You'd like to have one inside pass rusher and one edge pass rusher. If not a BK's injury is as bad as we think, they have neither. You'd like to have at least one standout tackle. I mean, I think we've seen the best of Ronnie Stanley. I don't think you get through another full season with Ronnie Stanley. And there was a sophomore slump for the right tackle. So that would be a particular concern. And then you'd like to have a modern difference maker in the pass game. And I'm not even going to get caught up in the designation. Either an elite top 10 move tight end or a number one outside wide receiver, size, speed, combo guy who can win individually. They have none of that. They are absolutely putrid and deficient in every one of those categories. They've got a top three quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Hamilton's a nice chess piece. We've seen for 2 years, with all the other deficiencies, that chess piece can barely get you to marginal against bad teams, and it ain't going to do it against good teams. Like, they're in Bleach Creek.
They have serious holes on this roster, and there's so many storylines this whole offseason, but I kind of want to touch on the guy that was just talking, because he's one of them. What they do with Tyler Linderbaum is going to be really fascinating to me, because this is an organization that, prior to selecting him in the first round, has never really prioritized the center position. And then we saw Eric DaCosta back in May decide to not opt into his fifth-year option because it is offensive line, not center, so it was very cost-prohibitive, but what happens with him? Because if he walks out the door, then you're going to need another starting.
But they also made that decision at a time. They're paying nobody.
Yeah.
They're playing nobody. Like, even Ronnie's a steal. No one's making starting caliber money on their whole offensive line. Okay. Well, and then they made this decision.
Well, I brought it up. They were last in offensive line spending this year. Dead last.
And they got what they paid for. Speaking of the offensive line, Tyler Linderbaum talks about the evolution of the O-line this year.
You know, definitely saw some growth. One of the things that's hard about our position, try to play as consistent as possible for 17 games. Proud how we came to work every single day, try to get better, and that's all you can ask for.
So I'll say this. I'm sure they came to work every single day, and I'm sure they tried to get better, but their guards were awful. They were awful, and they were awful from basically week one to the game Sunday night where their videos out there, Daniel Falele blocking air. Like, that was a consistent.
And the loss of Joe D, I think, really impacted them way more this year than last year. And, you know, the timing of when that happened, and it's all hands on deck, and everybody's grieving together. But I feel like this year, man, it was – his absence was felt immeasurably. And again, I wouldn't have paid Patrick McCary $20 million either. He plugged holes at five different spots. I mean, he made them look smarter and better than they were in a bunch of different ways because he literally could play all five spots.
Well, remember, he started that season starting at right tackle, yeah. Then Voorhees got hurt, and then he started at left guard the rest of the way. But
and they drafted a hurt kid to maybe sort of kind of replace him.
Yeah,
maybe.
Henry Jones.
But
yeah.
This year, that entire offensive line that was adequate in 2024, they regressed across the board. Ronnie wasn't as good. The guards both stunk. Linderbaum regressed in part because the guards stunk.
Ronnie's never going to be as good again.
Drop back.
Yeah, there's a lot of wear. There's a lot of miles on those tires, those Ronnie Stanley tires. You want to hear from Draymond Jones? He is a free agent entering the season. They acquired him at the deadline. Beltway Ben, how about cut 16? His view on entering free agency.
Like I had before, with open arms, you know, clear mind, clear head. I'm not going to think too much and definitely about it until the time, which is probably March. And we'll see what happens from there. I mean, I love being a Raven. And, you know, it'd be great if that continued, but it depends on what they see.
Let's be honest. He's not a guy that's going to be signing the first day of free agency.
No. No. If they want him back, I think they'll be able to bring him back.
I can't imagine you're breaking the bank on Draymond Jones, and he's coming off a year in which he made 1 year, $8.5 million on that contract. So it's probably more in line with that. Draymond Jones's big personality, I think he can factor into a pass rush rotation for sure.
He's a rotational
guy. But he is not the guy.
One more from Draymond Jones. Cut 17. He looks back on his brief time with the team.
I can do nothing but just show my appreciation and respect to this program and how they handle everything. Everybody in here kind of, when I first came here, they kind of opened arms with me and brought me in and made me feel like I've been here since July during OTAs. They were drilling onto me and make sure I understood the game plan from day one. Overall, they just taking care of me, and I can do nothing but appreciate that.
So they put all their eggs in trying to maybe marginally improve a horrible defense. Yeah. And Draymond, I bet he got plenty of special attention.
Yeah.
I bet he got extra tutoring. Howie Roseman went out and got Jalen Phillips. These guys got Draymond Jones.
Yeah.
We really need this one to work, boss.
I like Draymond Jones, but let's not kid ourselves on what Draymond Jones is. And if they want to bring Draymond Jones back, it better be like the third or fourth addition to the defensive line and pass rush. Coming up next, though, we switch to Orioles, and we've talked a lot about how active they've been offseason, but there's a lot of smoke out there in the big city that another move may be coming. What does Andy Koska think? He covers the O's for the Baltimore Banner, and he joins us next.